Greetings and welcome back to the broadcast. It's Tuesday morning, December 11th, 2018. I'm Sean, your host. The website is scriptureandprophecy.com, www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Today we are doing our series, Encouragement and Wisdom from the Psalms and Proverbs, and we're ready for chapter 13 today. The psalm for today is very, very short, six verses. I'm going to read that to you, and then we'll take a look at the commentary from Matthew Henry. And then we'll read our Proverbs, which is just a continuation of that contrast between wisdom and wickedness. And so hopefully it'll be a blessing to you this morning. Let's go ahead and get started with our Psalm of David, Psalm 13, verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. All right. Well, we've all felt like this. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? You know, we've all felt that way. And maybe we're in a season where we feel that way right now, where it's like, man, my prayers even being heard? How long is it going to be before the Lord remembers me? How long before he, you know, shines his face upon me again? David says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Of course, the psalmist then changes direction for the last two verses. And maybe you've felt that. Maybe you've done this before too, where your grievance and your complaint turns into praise in the middle of prayer. And David says, but I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Let me read you the commentary from Matthew Henry on this. Here's what he had to say. He said that God sometimes hides his face and leaves his own children in the dark concerning their interest in him. And this they lay to heart more than any outward trouble whatever. But anxious cares are heavy burdens, with which believers often load themselves more than they need. The bread of sorrows is sometimes the saint's daily bread. Our master himself was a man of sorrows. It is a common temptation when the trouble lasts long to think that it will last always. Those who have long been without joy begin to be without hope. We should never allow ourselves to make any complaints but what drives us to our knees. Nothing is more killing to the soul than the want of God's favor. Nothing is more reviving than the return of it. I like that there. Nothing is more killing to a soul than the want of God's favor. And maybe I've certainly felt that way, and I've personally been dealing with that feeling for quite some time now. Nothing is more killing to the soul than the want of God's favor, and nothing more reviving than the return of it. So there's nothing more uplifting than when you feel the presence of God and the favor of God come back and return into your life. The sudden, delightful changes in the book of Psalms are often very remarkable. We pass from the depth of despondency to the height of religious confidence and joy. It is thus, Psalm 13:5, but I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. All is gloomy dejection in verse 4. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But the mind of the despondent worshiper rises above all its distressing fears, and throws itself without reserve on the mercy and care of its divine Redeemer. See the power of faith, and how good it is to draw near to God. If we bring our cares and our griefs to the throne of grace and leave them there, we may go away like Hannah, and our countenance will be no more sad. He's referring to 1 Samuel verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 18. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. God's mercy is the support of the psalmist's faith. Finding I have that to trust to, I am comforted, though I have no merit of my own. His faith in God's mercy has filled his heart with joy in his salvation, for the joy and peace come by believing. He has dealt bountifully with me. My faith was as confident of salvation as if it had been completed already. In this way, believers pour out their prayers, renouncing all hopes, but in the mercy of God through the Savior's blood. And sometimes, suddenly, at others, gradually, they will find their burdens removed and their comforts restored. Then they allow their fears and complaints were unnecessary, and acknowledge that the Lord had dealt bountifully with them. So that is Psalm chapter 13 and the Matthew Henry commentary. Let's go ahead and move on to the proverb and just take a look at this again. It's just more instruction, more contrast of righteousness and wickedness. So let's dig right in. Verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You know, the Bible warns over and over about the tongue. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And these proverbs are just full of warnings about opening your mouth, about running your mouth. The Bible warns severely against those who gossip. And maybe you know people like that. Now, all they just thrive on it. They just live by opening their mouth. And the Bible here warns that he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthrow the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. That's kind of like what Matthew Henry was saying and what I was saying about the psalm there. You know, it's really troubling when you're desiring the favor of God and you're praying, but you just don't, you don't feel his presence. You don't feel like your prayers are going anywhere. But then when it finally does come, when the return of that favor comes, it's exhilarating, and it lifts you up. And he says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So he's like, you know, when in that period of time when your hope is, you know, when you're without hope, you know, when you have very little hope, you know, it makes the heart sick. But when it comes, it is the tree of life. Verse 13, whosoever despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, when I was in school, there was a athletic director, and he was also my basketball coach and my cross country coach, and just kind of played a big role in my life and keeping me on the straight and narrow. And one of the things he always would tell me, because I would always want to hang around with the wrong crowd, you know, he would always say, and I'll never forget this statement. He would say, you become who you surround yourself with. You become who you surround yourself with. He's like, if you're going to hang out with them, you're going to end up like them. And this is true. You're going to become who you surround yourself with. You surround yourself with a bunch of negative people who have no ambition, who are always complaining and murmuring. You're going to become a person who complains and murmurs. You know, if you're in high school like I was in that day and age, and you hang around with people who make poor decisions and would rather get high than to, you know, focus on their studies and focus on their athletic, well, you're going to become that person. You're going to become just like that. And the Bible here is saying that exact same thing. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You surround yourself with wise and intelligent people, people who make wise choices, you're going to become wise. You know, if you want to be a great businessman, surround yourself with people who do really well at business. You want to be a real godly man or woman, start surrounding yourself with godly men and women. You are not meant to do this walk alone anyway. The scripture is very clear about that, especially as you see the day approaching. The book of Hebrews says, do not, I'm paraphrasing here, but do not stop gathering together, especially as you see that day approaching. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastiseth him betimes. The righteous eateth to satisfying of the soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. And that is the end of chapter 13. Let me just read verse 24 one more time. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastiseth him betimes. We live in a culture nowadays where chastising your child, disciplining your child, is considered abuse. This is why you have kids running around the shopping store when you're trying to buy groceries, acting a fool and getting in your way and screaming at the top of their lungs when mommy won't get them what they want. And we currently live in a country where children were never disciplined. And the scriptures say that if you refuse to chastise your child, you spare the rod, you hateth your child. Why? Because if you know, I don't know about you, but in the past when I've had to discipline my son, I've hated it. It's heartbreaking to have to discipline your child, but you do it because you love them and you have to. Because they need to learn right from wrong. They need to learn to walk upright so that when they become a man or a woman, they're wise and they can make wise choices and have a decent life. These spoiled brats, they don't know what to do. And then when they get in the real world and they don't get what they want and things don't work out because that's the way life is, they don't know how to react. So suddenly they're all over college campuses whining and crying and needing comfort, you know, needing like these little stuffed animals to hold and needing safe spaces. And, you know, this is what you get. A bunch of kids that can't deal with, you know, trouble. They have no perseverance in them. And they've never been told no. And so you see them in these auditoriums when they're offended, screaming at the top of their lungs and crying and, you know, calling the counselor if somebody writes Donald Trump in chalk on the sidewalk. I mean, this is what undisciplined, spoiled kids turn into. And this is the generation we have now. And this same generation is now going into the workforce. And we have a whole country of kids who are now adults, who are never disciplined, who are never told no, who don't know what it's like to go without, and then they get into the real world. And this is what happens. And so the scriptures are telling us, if that's what you do, if that's what you allow, that's not love. It's not loving to not discipline your child or to not withhold from them. If you behave that way as a parent, you hate your children. And it's the truth, because their life is going to be worse because you didn't teach them right from wrong. Well, that is the podcast for this morning. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that it's been a blessing to you, and I hope you got some encouragement, and I hope you got some wisdom out of this morning. I'd like to ask a couple of things from you today. First, I'd like you to just pray. Right now, something that I'm praying for, and listen, I've been praying about this for 5 years, and even longer than that, just in a different way. But I've been praying that I would have the freedom to do this podcast on a daily basis, 5 days a week. It's hard to put together a quality podcast in 20 or 30 minutes. If you've ever done any type of broadcasting before, you may be able to begin to understand how challenging it is to try to do this in the short amount of time that I have. So I'm just praying. I don't see or know how God can make that possible, how he could provide that type of funding to where I could literally feel confident to go for that. But I'm just asking for prayer about that right now. It's one of those things that's big and impossible, but nothing is impossible for God. And so that's something I've been praying. I've always been praying about that, but I've been praying more about it lately. And so I just ask that you would join me in that prayer. You know, if 500 of you would pray, it would take, you know, 60 seconds of your day to sincerely ask God to show favor in this matter, that can make a huge difference to me. And then also, if you want to support this work, if you like what's being done here, you believe in it, go to scriptureandprophecy.com. You will see the options there. I've also kind of changed the format of the website back to kind of like the blog format. Now, the reason for that is because I want to start posting more videos up here things that I see throughout the week that I want to share with you guys. And I think I want to start, you know, if Lord willing, if I can find the time, I'd like to start writing more for the devotionals and all of that. So you can see the blog when you first go to the website, and then you can click devotional at the top and you'll see devotionals. The last one I wrote was in May, so titled Don't Be a Lazy Christian. And then, of course, like I said, the donate and support tab is there at the top. All right, that's all I have for you today. Lord willing, I'll still be able to get a couple more podcasts out before the end of this week. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.